Amen. And Helen, we're wondering if you were able to read Luke chapter 15?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read from the New King James Bible. Chapter 15 is the parable of the lost sheep. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he's found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I've found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he'd spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came, he drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother's come, and because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him?' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found.' Amen."
Amen. Thank you so much, Helen. It's one of the richest portions of scripture, as parable after parable in that chapter reflect and talk and point us to the same message. All those parables are giving an insight into one glorious eternal truth, and that is that God's grace, when it comes to the grace of God, then, and to those who are lost, then it is all about you. When it comes to the grace of God and to those who are lost, it is all about you. In the early years of our development of Petra School back in Bulawayo in Zimbabwe, we would sometimes have a teacher reflection day or a teacher training day to help us become more focused on what Christian teachers should be, what we should try and aspire to, and as a staff, what we had hoped to be. And one of the stories we used to share on some of those days was the story of Terry Stoddart, a true story. And Terry Stoddart's story is a bit like, could be your story, it could be my story. In this case, it's in the situation of a child going through school with the challenges. But Teddy Stoddart was and had become a lost sheep. But you and I, so often, without realizing it, can stray off into the brambles of this life, into the corruption, into the false paths that we might be tempted to follow, and without even realizing it, very quickly become lost sheep. And this message for us today reminds us that when it comes to being lost, when it comes to being confused and wandering away from what God's gracious plan for our lives is, God will not leave us nor forsake us. He cares about you, and he cares about your situation. Teddy's story reads like this. As soon as she stood in front of her fifth grade class on the very first day of school, she told the children something that was not exactly true. Like most teachers, she looked at her students and said that she loved them all the same. However, that was impossible, because there in the front row, slumped in his seat, was a little boy named Terry Stoddart. Mrs. Thompson had watched Teddy the year before and noticed that he did not play well with the other children, that his clothes were messy, and that he constantly needed a bath. In addition, Teddy could be unpleasant. He could be, at times, a bully. And it got to the point where Mrs. Thompson would actually take delight in marking his papers with a broad red pen, making big bold X's, and then putting a big F or fail at the top of his papers. At the school where Mrs. Thompson taught, she was required to review each child's past records, and she put Teddy's off until last. However, when she reviewed his file, she was in for a surprise. Teddy's first grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is a bright child. With a ready laugh, he does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." His second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well liked by his classmates, but he is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness, and life at home must be a struggle." His third grade teacher wrote, "His mother's death has been hard on him. He tries to do his best, but his father doesn't show much interest in his home life, and his home life has an effect on him. If some steps aren't taken, a very detrimental effect." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn and doesn't show much interest in school. He doesn't have many friends, and he sometimes sleeps in class." By now, Mrs. Thompson realized the problem, and she herself was a bit ashamed of herself. She felt even worse when her students bought her Christmas presents, wrapped in beautiful ribbons and bright paper, except for Teddy's. His present was clumsily wrapped in the heavy brown paper that he got from a grocery bag. Mrs. Thompson took pains to open it in the middle of the other presents. Some of the children started to laugh when she found a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing, and a bottle that was one quarter full of perfume. but she stifled the children's laughter when she exclaimed, "How pretty the bracelet was," putting it on and dabbing some of the perfume on her wrist. Teddy Stoddard stayed after school that day, just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to before she died." After the children left, Mrs. Thompson wept for at least an hour. On that very day, she stopped just teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic. Instead, she began to teach children. Mrs. Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the smartest children in the class. And despite her saying that she would love all the children the same, Teddy actually became one of her teacher's pets. A year later, she found a note under her door from Teddy, telling her that she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his whole life. 6 years went by before she got another note from Teddy. He then wrote that he had finished high school, third in his class, and she was still the best teacher he had ever had in his life. 4 years after that, she got another letter saying that while things had been tough at college, he had stayed in school, had stuck with it, and would soon graduate from college with the highest of honors. He assured Mrs. Thompson that she was still the best and favorite teacher he had ever had in his whole life. Then 4 more years passed and yet another letter came. This time he explained that after he got his bachelor's degree, he decided to go a little further. The letter explained that she was still the best and favorite teacher he had ever had. But now his name was a little longer. The letter was signed Theodore F. Stoddard, M.D. Story does not end there. You see, there was yet another letter that spring. Teddy said he had met this girl and was going to be married. He explained that his father had died a couple of years earlier, and he was wondering if Mrs. Thompson might agree to sit at the wedding in the place that was usually reserved for the mother of the groom. Of course Mrs. Thompson did. And guess what? She wore that bracelet, the one with several rhinestones missing. Excuse me. Moreover, she made sure she was wearing the perfume that Teddy remembered his mother wearing on their last Christmas together. They hugged each other, and Dr. Stoddard whispered in Mrs. Thompson's ear, "Thank you, Mrs. Thompson, for believing in me. Thank you so much for making me feel important and showing me that I could make a difference." Mrs. Thompson, with tears in her eyes, whispered back. She said, "Teddy, you have it all wrong. You were the one who taught me that I could make a difference. I didn't know how to teach until I met you." And then a postscript. For those of you who don't know, Teddy Stoddard is the resident doctor at Iowa Methodist Hospital in Des Moines, and he has just opened what is called the Stoddard Cancer Wing of that hospital. And the message is this, that in our lives, we will always come across a Teddy Stoddard. And we, like Mrs. Thompson, should not look at the superficial, but we should look beyond at the circumstances and at the heart and ask God for grace to love the sheep that have gone missing, that are drifting, that have got caught up in the brokenness of life. But there's a second lesson in that story, and it's this, that just like Teddy Stoddard, no matter where we are on our path and on our life's walk, circumstances can change around us. Circumstances can break over us, and we, like Teddy, can fall and become lost and become in need of help, and sometimes not even know it. And like Mrs. Thompson reached out to Teddy, today's message from the reading of the Bible is that Jesus will be Mrs. Thompson to you. when you are needing him the most. In today's Bible reading, we see reflections of Teddy Stoddard. We see, firstly, that the one which is lost sometimes doesn't even know the danger that he is in. And there's something about the shepherd realizing that. And we see in today's reading that the shepherd cares deeply about the one that is lost. He knows the danger that the lost and drifting sheep is in. He realizes that there are prowling lions desiring to tear that sheep apart. There are snakes that would love to strike it down. Or it may just get stuck in the thorns and brambles of life and not be able to move one way or the next. And the shepherd cares deeply about that one sheep. He cares enough to leave the 99 in safe pasture and go and look for the sheep, like the father looking for the prodigal son, going out morning after morning, looking down the road with a heart craving to see his son come back to him. Like the gracious and wise teacher, the Lord himself protecting the woman accused by hypocrites of adultery. Like the going into a hostile territory of Samaria to find the woman at the well, trapped in a life of sin, and to set her free. And like going into the coastal region to find a man chained and possessed by demons, and to release him from both the chains and the demons. The shepherd cares about the lost sheep. The shepherd cares about you. The shepherd will come looking for you. Secondly, we see that the shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. He is the sheep's shepherd. The sheep belongs to him, and the sheep has begun to drift away. We see here a Christian child who leaves home and goes to college, to university, and gets lost in the wilderness of secularism and atheism. We see the Christian so broken by life that they are numb to the presence of Jesus himself and are stuck in the pain and the overwhelming situation that they find themselves in. We see here the Christian teacher who has got trapped in the thorns of liberal theology and has wandered from the safe pasture of the Word of God and the inspired Word of God and has wandered into areas of danger. We see here the Christian man and woman trapped in a situation and in an age and in addictions that are tearing them away from the home, from the fold, from the very presence of the shepherd. But the shepherd will seek that sheep. The shepherd will seek you when you find yourself in a distant, far, and broken place. He will seek you. And then thirdly, we see that it is an active, persevering search. The shepherd does not stop looking for the lost sheep. He doesn't leave the sheep stranded. He goes looking for the sheep. He goes looking until he finds it. The search is personal. He doesn't send his pastors. He doesn't send those who are around him. He doesn't send the youth workers. The shepherd goes himself looking for the sheep. The Lord will come looking for you himself. It's a personal search. And he does not stop. He perseveres. It's an active, persevering search. The Lord will come for you, find you where you are. That's the message of today's passage. If ever there is a soul that is brought from sin to grace, it is not by his servants. They may help find the lost. They may point the way to the lost. They may even lead the master towards the lost, but it's the master himself who goes after his own sheep. Charles Spurgeon said this, it is glorious to think of Jesus still personally tracking sinners and those who have wandered away, who though they fly from him with the desperateness of folly, yet are still pursued by him the great shepherd himself, the Son of God, the eternal champion of men. We thank God that Jesus will not leave us or forsake us. He personally will come searching for us. He will find us. And when he finds us, by grace, he will lift us up and bring us back into the love and safety of the fold, into that relationship with him. Do not give up hope if you're finding yourself drifting away. The shepherd will come to you in whatever circumstances you find yourself, and he will pick you up, he will restore you, and he will bring you back home into the fold. And so the message today is this. Jesus comes, and the verse in Revelation says it so clearly, "Behold, I will find you, I will stand at the door, and I will knock." Not only the door of the church, but the door of the individuals who make up the church. "And if you open your heart to me, I will come to you, and I will restore that fellowship with you." And in today's readings, as we saw through the parables, there will be great joy in heaven when we find a sinner repenting, when we find a lost coming back to Christ. We will see great rejoicing in heaven the day the shepherd brings you and me back into the fold by the grace of God. You see, it is in the grace of God, through the gift of God, through the love of God, through the active pursuit of God. It is all about you and the rescue of the sinner into grace. And we thank God that we have such a shepherd. We thank God that wherever we are, it's not too far that God will not find us and will not restore us. And it's my and our prayer today that all of us will know again the joy of that fellowship restored, of the beauty of being in the presence of Christ and his people again, in joy singing. As David said, "I was glad when I went to sing with the people of God. I was glad when they said, 'Come into the house of the Lord.'" And we look forward to that because the house of the Lord is the presence of the Lord together with God's people. Wherever that is, that's where the house of the Lord is. May the Lord encourage us. May the Lord bless us today and keep us. And may today we know that precious healing that comes when the shepherd returns us back into the fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May God bless you. Let's reflect now on some of those thoughts as we hear and listen to our final hymn before we share in the grace together this morning. Thank you.